So biting into an Impossible Burger with its genetically modified ingredient made us curious about other GMOs on the market and some of the issues around them. Gene Hollerin is director of food policy initiatives at Consumers Union. That's the policy and lobbying arm of Consumer Reports magazine, the people who test everything, then tell you about it. Hollerin's been looking at GMOs with a critical eye, and I recently spoke with her by phone about them. How much of what's sold to consumers in the produce aisle or as fresh foods is actually GMO?
Well, that's actually a tougher question than you might think. The main crops that are genetically engineered in the United States are corn, soy, canola, and sugar beets. Most of the corn and soy actually goes as animal feed. The canola, of course, becomes canola oil, and the sugar beets become all sorts of sugar that's added to processed foods, mostly. In terms of the produce aisle, we're a little unsure how much is there because we don't have mandatory labeling. We do know that there have been some kinds of produce that are have gone through an FDA safety review. So there's some sweet corn, there's some zucchini, there's some potatoes. And just now they're introducing a variety of apple called the Arctic apple, whose main characteristic is that it doesn't go brown when you cut it open. And, you know, we haven't had a chance to buy the Arctic apple. I would like to buy it and see what happens when you leave it out and it doesn't get brown. Does it still turn mushy? You know, browning is kind of a signal to the consumer that a thing is a little bit old and maybe past its prime. If that visual signal is gone, is the apple still as good? That's a test I'd like to be able to do on those apples.
Yeah. And from my understanding, the genetic modification is that it silences the gene that makes apples turn brown. Is that different? I think we've heard a lot more about adding genetic code from other organisms to genetically modify them. Is it different than that?
Yes and no. The vast bulk of the products that have been modified so far have been modified with added genes to tolerate glyphosate, which is better known as Roundup, an herbicide, so that they can spray the field with herbicides and the crop doesn't die, but the weeds do. Although, increasingly, the weeds are evolving resistance so that it's not working very well anymore. Now, these new techniques for the potato and the Arctic apple are what they call a gene silencing technique, and they call it sometimes gene editing, where you may not necessarily introduce genetic material from some other plant or bacteria or, you know, insect or something. But in fact, in terms of what we view as the risks of genetic engineering and the reason why it should go through a safety assessment are the same. Because once you start tinkering with the genetic code, there can be unexpected effects. Things can happen not just at the part of the code that you want to change, but elsewhere in the genome. And genomes are so complex. You know, it's like a very, very complex computer program. People know that if you change a little part of your computer code, sometimes the thing doesn't work for some reason.
So when a GMO is proposed by a company, how do we know it's safe to eat? What's the oversight?
Well, that's one of our biggest concerns, because in the U.S. at this point, we only have a system for voluntary safety consultations. But the companies will say that everything on the market has actually gone through a voluntary consultation. There's one exception to that, though, which is something now on the market. I don't know if you've seen them talking about the Impossible Burger.
I've eaten one.
You've eaten one?
Yes.
Well,
okay, tell me about it now.
It contains genetically engineered blood, which has not gone through an FDA safety review. It's basically a veggie burger, but the thing that makes people not so excited about veggie burgers sometimes is that they don't really taste like meat burgers. So to try to make it more like a meat burger, these folks genetically engineered, I believe it was a yeast, to produce the equivalent of hemoglobin, the red stuff that makes blood red. Now, originally, they actually went to FDA and said, will you please, you know, evaluate this? And FDA wrote back and said, the data that you were provided so far is not sufficient to make a safety assessment. Please provide us with actual safety testing. Because they, in their original assessment, just kind of argued from theory. You know, this should be safe because basically people have eaten hemoglobin for a long time and this is hemoglobin. So they withdrew their application for a review and then just started marketing the burger.
So,
and this is perfectly legal.
FDA is the Food and Drug Administration. What about the USDA, the Agriculture Department?
USDA doesn't have jurisdiction over the safety of plant foods. And this is a food additive being added to a plant food. So it's not in USDA's jurisdiction. They just assure the safety of meat and poultry that's being slaughtered. USDA does have a responsibility to make sure that any new genetically engineered plant is not a plant pest, you know, in other words, likely to turn into a weed, but it's a kind of limited remit that it has.
There was a big GMO labeling debate last year in Vermont. Where do things lie now? How do consumers know if the foods that they're eating have GMO ingredients or have been genetically modified in some way?
You can't know, unfortunately. Vermont passed a labeling law that was supposed to go into effect a year ago. And some companies actually started labeling their products. I mean, Campbell's Soup and some others. You know, we didn't think this was such a radical idea. But the biotech and food marketing lobbies were extremely opposed to this, and they went to Congress and got Congress to pass a law that preempted all states from ever requiring labeling of genetically engineered food. What they did require, they said, well, we will have a federal system of disclosure, and that can be accomplished in any number of ways. You could actually label the product if you wanted to, but you can also use this thing called a QR code.
And you can use your smartphone to scan that, right?
And you can use your smartphone to scan it. We thought that was not an acceptable solution because among older people and among low-income people and among rural people, smartphones are in some cases not even owned by a majority people out there.
Yeah, so there's a barrier there for a lot of consumers.
And that hasn't gone into effect yet. It's supposed to go into effect in another year or so.
Does the average consumer know enough about GMOs, in your opinion or in your experience? And is the information that's out there that people can read about GMOs trustworthy, like on the internet?
Right. Is anything trustworthy on the internet? You can read plenty of things on the internet, some of which make genetic engineering sound like the cure for baldness, and other stuff that makes it sound like it's the cause of every known disease. There's plenty of misleading information. There's also reliable information. I mean, Consumer Reports has written a lot of articles about it, and we're very careful about what we say. We have a fact-checking department, and they're very tough on us. But do consumers know enough to make decisions? You know, the average consumer clearly doesn't know very much about genetic engineering. You know, it's new science. It's at the cutting edge. You know, they probably barely remember high school biology where you learned what genes were and chromosomes and things. You know, but I think most people have a basic idea that genes are what make you what you are. You know, they're what's passed down from parent to child or parent to the, you know, plant to seed to the next plant. I think a lot of people just kind of have a conservative view when it comes to new technology. you know, I know there are other people who are very happy to try out every new technological invention. So we think people should have a choice.
Jean Halloran is Director of Food Policy Initiatives at Consumers Union.